Hafa Day, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
You know what Jesus said? You better watch what's going on. And you don't be blind. Well, whatever they say, that's what, hey, you go back to Scripture.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Pastor focuses on Matthew 24 today as we continue our study of prophecy by listening to a portion of a message called, Are We Living in the Last Days?
We're going to talk about eschatology, esca meaning in end times, things that are going to come in the future. Let me deal with the three signs that you can be promised that the Bible does mention is going to happen, and Matthew 24 is a starting point, and we'll give you other passages along the way. But Matthew 24 is Jesus as a Jew talking to his disciples as Jews about the Jewish people, which is going to become a nation. In the midst of all of it, he gives us direction, and I'm going to finish with that. But talking about current events going right now, there are three general areas that you will end up finding happening. One of those is the area of our world government. It is going to happen in which the world governments, as we know it, somehow the national governments are going to surrender their sovereignty to a one world government. And a government would operate through a world headquarters, a world court, a world military. And today there are many serious voices calling for such a reality. Some of those things you can step back and with all good common sense realize some of these things are coming into play. It doesn't take a rocket scientist, does it? As we understand Scripture, it seems that that event is going to happen, the location of that, or at least the parts of that, are going to come out of Europe. And so you can see some of these things parting into play. When the UN came into existence, people said, man, that's the sign, it's going to happen. And here we are years and years later. But the reality is, somehow these world governments are coming into play. Number two, there is going to be a world economy. The rampant spread of globalism is fueled by the driving force for world economy. It is virtually impossible to do business today without networking with the global economy. There's almost no such thing as, quote, an American product that is not dependent on parts, trade, or investments from foreign countries. And so is it any surprise, and it shouldn't be a surprise to you, oh, a few years ago, let's have the euro, because now all these countries, rather than going in Europe, take that, and moving, and constantly has to just do it all under one big European dollar. Makes sense. It makes sense that sometime there will be an Amerodollar. I've read some of the websites as you've read, and I've heard about it for at least 30 years, that we already have a printed secondary currency that isn't mixed with the rest of world currencies. Are going to all fit into play. They're already printed. I've had people say, well, do you think that's true? Could be. Wouldn't shock me. Why would you be surprised? There is going to be a world economy. And we know eventually, is it not true that you're not going to be able to buy and sell without some kind of identification? Number three, not only a world government, a world economy, but a world religion. And this is the final phase, the New World Order. The idea of a new world religion or peace or cooperation is already being proposed, and religious unity has been endorsed by Catholic popes, the Dalai Lama, the leaders of the World Council of Churches. And you cannot miss the fact that somehow all of this is going to end up coming together. There's a pluralism involved. How in the world could you not end up having sensitivities to be aware that even right now, off of 9/11, and some of you personally have been there and seen the devastation right after that happened, and there's now a mosque like right next to where the trade towers went down, because there's a great sensitivity to Islam now, way more than there was 10 years ago. Now, don't miss my point. I'm not here to bash somebody that's a Muslim. I hope they come to find the real, genuine Jesus Christ. Now, saying all that, let me come back to Matthew 24. Look what he says in Matthew 24. That Jesus went out and departed from the temple. His disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. Jesus said to them, see you not all these things? Verily, I'm telling you, there's not one stone left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. So he goes the other through the Kidron Valley to the Mount of Olives. He tells the disciples privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of the coming and then the end of the world. He asks three questions, and as a good Jew, he takes the last one first. The last one he starts in verse 4 to 35, and then the first question he asks, he answers in verse 36. And then notice, if you would, in verse 42, notice what Jesus says, what we should be doing. He's talking the context of end times. And this is the direction, number one, understand we should be watch what's going on. So what do? He says, number one, watch what's going on. These three words. Put down the word facts. There is going to be facts. These are clearly stated facts of prophetic revelation. Christ will return for his own. I'm talking about these are facts. These are very clear. But you can take facts, and then off of that facts, you move to assumptions. The fact is that assumptions, factual prophecy only tells us so much and no more. Beyond factual prophecy, we must make certain assumptions which, if they're correct, will lead to valid conclusions. For example, it's an assumption that Russia will invade Israel in the last days. Now, whether or not that's a factual depends on the legitimacy of one's interpretation of Ezekiel's Magog prophecy of Ezekiel 38 and 39. The fact is, Russia is aligning itself with Iran, and they, along with multiple other countries, including the Arabian Peninsula, as documented in Ezekiel 38, are all going to come together. And so it's a safe assumption that somehow all that's going to happen, and they are going to end up attacking Israel, and somehow God is going to protect them. Is that through nuclear crisis? What would you do if you were Ezekiel 2,600 years ago and you're explaining a nuclear bomb? That's why, by the way, and I'm going to say it later on, symbolism is a powerful tool of literature. That's why when you talk about Satan, Superman, Antichrist, many times there's a symbol used, they call him a beast. Does that mean literally he's a beast, like he's got hair on his face and he's the modern day wolf man? No. It's a symbol to recognize a man that when you use the word beast, it's like, whoa, doesn't that elicit, I don't care what term beast is used in whatever language, it's like, that's not good, that's bad. So I'm trying to help you understand there are certain facts. These are facts going to happen. There are safe assumptions to make, and then the next word you have in your notes is the word speculation. Now, these are purely calculated guesses based on assumptions, and in many cases, they have no basis in prophetic fact at all, but they're speculations. For example, the Bible says the number of the Antichrist is 666, Revelation 13, 18. And we can only speculate what this means. It's an assumption that it's a literal number, and that's a safe assumption, but the speculation is, okay, what does that mean? 666. And comically, years ago, I heard about the guy that had in Israel, and he saw on Israel's license plate 666, and he was convinced Antichrist is already here. He's already there in Israel, man. He's right. That's, I bet you that's his car, 666. Do you think, oh, yeah, right. I'm going to tell you something. There are some bizarre speculations out there. And this is why I come back to, he says, watch, be aware, don't be distracted. Because it's easy to pretty soon start taking stuff together. I remember way back when Kissinger was the Antichrist. Have you remember that? Kissinger was, he was it, man. He was the man. And for a while it was Nixon, and then it was Clinton, and then now it's Obama. I don't know. And so now you take this Hebrew numeric value to letters, and then you could add up those letters to come up with certain numbers, right? And so many people kind of put all that thing together, then to come to the conclusion of some of these people that have, Hitler must have been the Antichrist. He certainly had earmarks of what Antichrist will be like, but he wasn't the Antichrist. So I just put this out there because on occasion you're going to hear me say, okay, this is fact. This is a safe assumption. There's nothing wrong with speculating, but you have to be cautious about where is that going to go. And I'm going to tell you, you have people that have so got themselves convinced and so distracted. And one particular guy was named Jim Jones that years ago took all those same passages and said, you know, I'm going to convince you, you need to go down to Ghana. We're going to start a whole other little world down there, and had a big Kool-Aid party that nobody survived. So you know what Jesus is saying? You better watch what's going on. And you don't be blind. Well, whatever they say, that's what, hey, you go back to Scripture. But with the scripture, you've got to understand, you've got to be careful about that. Now, I don't have time to get into all of this, but I'm going to give you three terms because I think they're important. When you get to areas, for example, I'm going to use this illustration. The millennial rule. It's 1,000 years, okay? Revelation 20. Let me give you a few facts, okay? This is the millennial kingdom. According to the Bible, Revelation 20, verse 2, he, the angel, came down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is devil, Satan, bound him 1,000 years. Here's a fact. It's 1,000 years. Here's another fact. Verse 3. The nations are no longer deceived. He says in verse 2. He bound him 1,000 years in verse 3 that he's not going to deceive the nations anymore. It's not going to happen. Look what you would in verse 4. The saints are going to come to life. They're going to reign with Christ for 1,000 years, verse 4. The end of it. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And then verse 5, he talks about the rest of the dead that don't come to life till after that 1,000 years are ended. He says in verse 5, the rest of the dead live not again. They're in heaven. And then verse 6, he talks about the saints that'll be priests and kings for 1,000 years. They're going to be priests of God, of Christ, and they're going to reign with him 1,000 years. Now, you think that's pretty well straight up. There are three particular terms you will find if you pick up any theology book. These are three terms, and they identify your view of this 1,000-year rule. Put down, number one, very simply, the word postmillennial. What that means, very simply, is from this viewpoint, Christ's kingdom is spreading throughout the world, and God's justice is going to prevail across the earth prior to Christ's return. So things are going to get better and better to the point that we're going to usher in the millennial. Number two view is the view, that would be the word amillennial. And what an amillennialist believe, very simply, this would be people with Reformed theology. Many in church history, they wouldn't take it as a literal 1,000 years. They would look at it as just happening right now. The saints are going to rule on the earth from immediate heaven. They're going to dwell with Christ. And they would end up taking the position that God's promises to Israel are viewed as having been fulfilled in the church. The view of the church age is an era of conflict between forces of good and evil. It's going to culminate with the return of Christ. And both of these positions, they would take the book of Revelation basically and allegorize it. In other words, they would look and say, this isn't really happening. These are just symbolic, and this is just something that's playing out spiritually. Or you could take a third position, and that's the term that we would take called premillennial. In other words, we would look at that passage and include it as literal. It really happened. Some would say the church is going to go through the tribulation. We would take a position. The rapture is going to be pre-tribulation. It's before the tribulation, which I do believe is going to be the case because Revelation 4 on, you don't find anywhere the church is mentioned. And then eventually we're going to come with Christ, and then we will rule with Christ, and that would be a premillennial position. Now, I don't want to confuse you, but I do want you to understand that very simply, you say, well, man, can good men differ on this? Yeah. Is it possible to be saved and take a position of postmillennial and amillennial? Be sure. And so I wouldn't go to the mat over it and say, man, you know what? You're not pre-trib, pre-mill. You're not going to heaven. I don't think that's fair. But I do think you have to understand when we're looking at end times, there are facts, and that's what we're talking about.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.